Our next guest is in the business of caring for people later in life and knows a thing or two about what to watch for that might indicate dementia is on the move in a person's brain. Brooke Fredericks is the owner and administrator of Right at Home, based in Medford. Welcome, Brooke, to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.
So what is Right at Home?
Right at Home is a caregiving agency, and in Oregon we call that in-home care. So we provide caregivers in the home to people as they're aging that need help, including people with Alzheimer's and dementia.
You've been up for more than a decade now, is that right?
Yes. We're in our 14th year in business.
Mm-hmm. And over that time, what trends are you seeing in why people need assistance at home, why they need care at home?
Well, what we're seeing is that people, as we know, want to stay home, and now the baby boomers are starting to age, and they are really wanting to stay home as well. And so people are wanting to have caregivers in the home so they can stay at home because they're needing more and more help and not ready to move yet. And so that's what we do, is help them in their home and help them age in place.
Are the reasons for needing care changing over time?
You know, it is true that people will stay home with higher levels of acuity and need than used to be the case, and that is true everywhere at every level of care in every kind of community, in the home, in facilities. People's level of care is increasing. Mm-hmm. So that is the trend that we mostly are seeing. And, of course, we are seeing more Alzheimer's and dementia.
That was a major part of the question, though, mm-hmm. that you are seeing more Alzheimer's and mm-hmm. dementia over time.
Yes, yes, we are.
So let's talk about the general situation, though. I mean, for whatever reason, people need some attention at home. Circumstances can change very quickly, can't they?
They can, yes. Now, people that are, you know, showing cognitive decline, it doesn't actually happen suddenly. It happens over time. But then it becomes more and more noticeable. And then as things progress, it is a progressive disease, then we might see behaviors or we might see things that make it feel like, wow, suddenly things changed, when in reality, probably things have been changing for a few years.
Oh, okay. So, all right. But yeah, with a physical thing, you could that'll change quickly, but not with the mental stuff.
Correct.
All right. Then who tends to notice a cognitive decline first, the person experiencing it or the people around them?
So that's a really good question. So it's typically is sometimes people that have dementia or they're starting to experience cognitive decline will start to notice that something's different. But typically one of the hallmarks of the disease is that they don't know they have it. And so that's one way we can know that we don't have it, is we know that we're kind of forgetful and miss a word or whatever. And we're, okay, that's normal. I know I'm doing that. So typically it's the family members and the people that are close to the person that notice it. So I had a client once who his wife, you know, said, I'll tell you when I first was suspicious was 10 years ago. And that was when my husband missed his golf lesson, because he would never miss his golf lesson because he loves golf. And she goes, that was when I first got the inkling that something was going to change here. And that was 10 years before, and she was really only starting to need to help 10 years later.
That sounds like a real particular indicator, though. I mean, if you change a routine that you have held to steadfast through the years, that would be one indicator, potentially.
That's a big indicator, actually, Jeff. So, yes, difficulty doing familiar tasks. So someone's just going along in their normal everyday life doing the things they do, and suddenly those things become difficult. And that's why the loved ones closest to them will see it first, typically in the home.
We're talking about cognitive declines and the signs thereof with Brooke Fredericks, who's the owner administrator of Right at Home, based in Medford, which provides in-home care to people around the Rogue Valley. You can join us with comments or questions here on the Jefferson Exchange. Lots of people very concerned about this issue. Send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Just those two letters, J and X, jx@jeffnet.org. So does changes in patterns, difficulty in doing some tasks, changes in the things you like? I mean, do tastes change, it seems like, with Alzheimer's and dementia, too?
Yeah, that can happen. That can happen, too. But really, what one of the big ones is, too, is short-term memory loss. So we'll see people, you know, they can remember when they went fishing with their brother when they were 10. They can remember their wedding day, you know, but they can't remember the conversation we had this morning or yesterday. So short-term memory loss is a big one that we see.
Well, that one in particular provides a certain level of discomfort. I've been joking for years now that everything that got into my head before age 40 is completely safe. I remember my grandmother's phone number in Queens. I haven't called her in 53 years. And yet, I mean, things that happened last week, conversations and stuff, it's like, I don't know, did that You told me that? Really? Was I listening? Was I not reading something else? You know, when do you begin to really make some fair comparisons with what you were doing or able to do, say, 10 years ago?
So again, that has to do with whether you know that's happening or not. So typically when someone has short-term memory loss, it's not something I would say, but if I were to say to them, we just had this conversation 5 minutes ago, they would say, no, we didn't. See, so that's a big difference. Now, would I say that? No, because with people with dementia, we want to say things that appeal to their emotions, because saying things that make them feel good is what's calming and helpful. And wouldn't we all like to always hear things, people saying things that make us feel good?
Well, that is a major point that I've heard over the years about how to approach people with dementia. Don't try to put them back onto the correct track or what you see as the reality of the world, because it's not the reality they live in anymore.
That's correct. That's a huge issue. And what we call that is meeting that person where they are. And so the way I like to illustrate that is I like to say, if your person says to you, the sky is purple, what are you going to say back? And so typically when I'm first meeting with a family, their inclination is to say, no, it's not. It's blue. But that's not meeting the person where they are. So what we really want to say is, what a beautiful purple sky. Let's enjoy our purple sky today.
That's a pretty shade of purple.
That's a pretty shade of purple. So, of course, that's an example I made up, mm-hmm. but it helps people understand the concept that, you know, I had a client once who thought he was in Ireland. So did we say, no, you're not in Ireland. You're here in Phoenix in this little place. No, we said, wow, look at those pretty green hills and let's talk with an Irish accent. And you can actually make this fun and creative and at the same time help the person and the caregiver who's helping them.
Huh. I imagine that is difficult up to a point, though, for people who have been dealing with people, you know, having great conversations for decades, perhaps, and yet here they are having to do a little bit of play acting.
That's exactly right. So when I'm coaching families on this, sometimes, you know, some people can really embrace it and go with it. Some people say, Brooke, that's my mom. I can't do that. That's not true. You want me to apologize to her for something I didn't do? I'm like, well, she thinks you did that. So yeah, that's what she said. Well, she's my mom. That's really, really hard. And that's where having paid help comes in. Or having family support. So your support system is super important. We call it the care team. And so for instance, if a caregiver comes in, builds a relationship, is bonded with your person, they can do these things and it's so much easier for them to do. And it gives respite to that family member who is having such a difficult time. I mean, there's not much we see more difficult than a family member caring for their loved one with dementia at home. And so having that kind of help where there's someone who it's easier for that caregiver to do that, and it's sometimes even easier on the person.
We were talking about cognitive declines and how to spot them and the signs to watch for. June is Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month. We're talking to Brooke Fredericks, the owner and administrator of Right at Home, based in Medford, which provides in-home care. We still have time for some emails if you want to get one in to jx@jeffnet.org. To that previous point about somebody getting worn out by caring for someone that they love and live with, at what point does a life companion have to say, I can't do this alone anymore?
So that's a really good question. It is really difficult, and that's pretty much what got me into this, because I was going into homes doing assessments, and my heart really went out to these people and their family members who are just so exhausted because they didn't seek support sooner. And so really what they need to do, they often are isolated in their home, and they really need to be surrounded by people who can support them. And that's hard to do when you're exhausted. So what they can do is they can bring caregivers in the home to get a little bit of respite, even if it's just a few hours once a week, to kind of get things back together and be able to think straight. They can go to the Alzheimer's Association. Lori Stanton runs that, and she runs it tirelessly and helps people. She has a list of support groups. And what a support group really is, it's just a group of friends that are going through what you're going through. And there are many, many here in the Rogue Valley. And people can even shop around and find one where this just feels like my friends. And people don't have to reinvent the wheel. They can make friends with people that have already been through what they're going through or going through it now, and they can help each other to do that. And there are so, so many resources here and so many people that know and are willing to help with that.
So that was one of my questions, who to call first. You do recommend the Alzheimer's Association for one. And then in terms of not just helping the helper, but helping the person who is in the cognitive decline, I mean, what's the first phone call? The family doctor? Who?
So, yes, the family doctor is always a good call because if people are exhibiting symptoms, we want to rule out other things because sometimes people will become confused suddenly and it's something completely different and we don't want to assume that it's Alzheimer's or dementia. So we want them to talk to their doctor. It's also a good idea if the doctor says, yes, I think we're seeing cognitive decline, is to get an assessment done by a neuropsychologist. And then we can learn more from that report about where they're at in their cognition, what to expect, what recommendations they make. And then also, I'm also a certified geriatric care manager. So people can go to the website, theaginglifecare.org, and look for a care manager that can help coach families through the whole process of how to help someone and when it's time, when and if it's time to make a move, how to stay at home longer, all of these issues surrounding this. And people really could use a lot of emotional support. And so there's a lot of help there.
In terms of bringing people into the home to help provide some care, some assistance for the person who lives with the person who's in decline, is there a process of working people in slowly, just sort of introducing them to new faces and situations?
Absolutely. So the sooner people start this process, the better, because what we really want to head towards is them bonding with one or two caregivers that stay with them long term, sometimes even for the rest of their lives, ideally. So if they have that person that's not a family member, when that family member is exhausted, that person has a friend to go to that they know and trust that's been with them for months or years. And then when things change, maybe they have to make a move, whatever is changing, they feel like they have a friend that's going with them and they're not alone. And then their family members have a lot of peace of mind surrounding that, because when they get scared about what the next step is, they've got that caregiver there, and sometimes they can say, gosh, I just can't do this part. Can you do it? And then we have another person who can do things in the stead of the family member. So it's hugely important.
What would be the proper move for a situation where abuse has developed with the person in cognitive decline being the abuser? I mean, how should the spouse, partner, family, caregiver react?
That's a really good question. So, of course, none of us deserves to be abused, even if the person, it is not their intent to do that. And so sometimes when we're seeing that, we call that a behavior. And so sometimes there's something that preceded that behavior beginning, and it's related to a need that that person has that they cannot articulate. And so we want to bring in an expert and take a look at that and see if we can solve that first. Because a lot of times it has something to do with, you know, they don't like what they're eating, their medications changed, they have a rash somewhere. You know, you never know what it is. And so we want to really take a look at what's changed and how can we address that first.
Wow. So a lot of situations to deal with and a lot of resources out there too, though. And so you want to give a short list of a phone number or two for people to places to go first?
Oh my gosh, I don't have phone numbers with me because everybody has Google. So
okay.
I will just say that, you know, people can go to the different websites I've already mentioned. They can go up to the Alzheimer's Association. Mm-hmm. They can look up in-home care agencies in their area. Mm-hmm. They can get a list of support groups and start calling around. I do recommend that people go look at memory care so that they can educate themselves on what their options are later for a plan B they might need someday.
Okay, so that's a good one to Google, those in-home care near me. That's a good
yes.
place to go. Plus Alzheimer's and, all right, all kinds of good stuff out there. Brooke Fredericks is the owner administrator of Right at Home. Thanks so much for taking this time to give an important conversation on the program.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
This is the Jefferson Exchange. We'll be back.